If you know me well, you know I love the game of basketball. I used to try to play it some, still try to on occasion, just can't play full court anymore. but I've in coaching and watching the sport, I've learned the importance of a strategic timeout. Maybe the team isn't playing up to par and they're getting frustrated, and so the coach will call a timely timeout. Maybe the opponent is going on a run and your coach wants to stop their momentum, so they'll call a timeout. Or the clock is running out and you need to call a particular play to win the game. That's a great time to call a timeout. We need to call timeout for our families. Sometimes family members may be getting frustrated. Maybe there's some tension in the home. It's a great time for a timeout. Maybe we get so busy that we neglect time with our family. It's time to call a timeout. I appreciate the words of Gary Oliver. I don't know of very many families today that aren't overcommitted. I believe that lack of time, or to be more accurate, lack of choosing to make time, may be the most insidious, pervasive, and destructive enemy the healthy family has. We're encouraging all of us, no matter what size our family, whether it's one or as many as it may be, and all these lessons apply to relationships within our church family as well, but we're turning our hearts toward home. We're looking at some keys to help make our families as strong as they can be. Last week, we focused on the power of modeling and the impact that modeling has, modeling godly behavior and godly principles, godly values in our family, and the power that has on our other family members. And this morning, I want us to focus on calling a timeout and giving the gift of time. This second key to building strong families may be the simplest, but yet it may be the most difficult. It doesn't take any special training, only a family member who knows how important it is to have that time with family and is willing to make sacrifices to make that happen. I've been asked this question. I've read this question. How do children spell love? How do children spell love? And the answer is, most children spell love T-I-M-E. That's the way they perceive love, is time spent with them. So the application is, healthy families don't find time. They make time. They make time. When 1,500 school children were asked this question, what do you think makes a happy family? The most frequent answer was, doing things together. Doing things together. We need to call time out for our families regularly and often. There are many benefits, obvious benefits, to time out with our families. One is it enables us to communicate better. I read about a father who noted that you have to spend time with people in order to know them and to talk to them, to get beyond superficial matters. Some families I know aren't face-to-face long enough each week to discuss football scores and the weather, much less get on to matters of heart and mind. And that, I think, his statement is so true today. We get so busy, we don't take that time, and thus our communication suffers. But if we'll make time, if we'll call time out, be together, it enhances our opportunities to communicate better. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, likewise dwell with them, dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Dwell with them with understanding. Live with them with understanding. And the only way that understanding is going to be deepened is by spending quantity amounts of quality time together. Communication is a benefit of shared family time. Companionship. Companionship is another benefit. I overheard Eric the last couple of weeks telling about a study that he'd read about one of the problems that teenagers face today. And he said, it's loneliness. And that's really striking to me because of the fact that because of the impact of cell phones and social media, and it seems that we're constantly connected. How is it that teens that are constantly connected through social media and text messaging and so forth, how is it that they could be lonely? And the answer seems to be coming back that social media, that remote connection doesn't satisfy that need for companionship. Only that face-to-face, only that communal interaction, human to human, family member to family member, can fill that need. That only that is an antidote to isolation, loneliness, and alienation. As Solomon said long ago, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. If they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Isolation, loneliness is a real problem in our world today. It's a problem within our families that can only be counteracted by calling time out, making time for our families. Connections is another benefit of shared family time. And connections provides a family identity, helps to nurture relationships. I love family get-togethers because it helps form an identity for our family members. We enjoy that now, but I look back on my life in traveling to Brownfield, Texas, and to Henderson, Tennessee, to visit. That was our vacation back in my day. It was to visit grandparents. But as looking back on that, I'm thankful that was our vacation, because it gave opportunity for us to spend time with grandparents, with cousins, with aunt and uncles, and we would see how the other had grown and how our interests were changing. But there was always that constant, and that was that we're family, and that we're family. And it gave us a sense of belonging, a sense of community, a sense of family. And calling time out and building those family relationships, which is the only way that those relationships can be built, is by spending that time together to nurture them. Let brotherly love continue, Hebrews 13:1. And the Hebrew writer is teaching us that in order for that love to continue, it's going to involve interaction, this connection that's enhanced with time spent together. So here's some homework for us. I know school is almost out. It is out for some of you. And some of us have a few exams to take, perhaps even this week. But here's some homework, that is work to be done in our home, within our families. And that is set aside some time this week for your family. There are only 24 hours in a day. Yes. We can't add time. We have to make it. It has to be a priority. We must make time to make memories. I thought about an article that Ricky wrote a couple of weeks ago about he and David, grandson, going hunting. And that kind of me is funny, thinking about David's age and hunting at that young age. But Ricky wrote about how while they were in the hunting together, he pulled out some cashews, I believe it was, and started eating them. And then little David wanted some. And that became an instant connection, to the point where when David left with Dad, with Mark, to go home, he had to tell Ricky how much he loved cashews. And you know why? Because Ricky taught him to. There was that connection, that time spent together We must make time to make memories. One family discovered this valuable truth. We discovered fairly soon in our parenting years that family times don't just happen. They have to be planned. If we don't watch out, we end up scattered all over town. So here's some very practical ways for us to complete our homework this week and every week to come. Very practical ways that are biblically centered, and I want you to see that. Number one, eat together. Eat together. Revelation 3, verse 20. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me." And Jesus is speaking to Christians on that occasion. And he's talking about desiring to have a deeper relationship with Christians. But the analogy that is used here as Jesus is communicating that truth is the idea of a meal. I will come in and dine with him and he with me. William Barclay in his commentary notes that there are different words used for different meals of the day, even in the first century. There was a word that would be used for that snack lunch, if you will. I think about the little boy with five loaves and two fish. And how Jesus took that small snack lunch, if you will, that had been probably prepared for him by his mother and fed the multitudes. But that small sack lunch, we might call it, that he took along with him, there was a word for that. But that's not the word that Jesus, that's not the idea that Jesus is referring to here. Jesus is referring to the meal at the end of the day where the family would recline together around a table, very relaxed and not hurried. Where the relationship could be shared, the events of the day could be discussed. And that's the idea that Jesus is presenting here. He's talking about the relationship that he longs to have with each of us, but he's also teaching us what it means, one practical application of spending time together, sharing a meal together in a relaxed setting where we can talk about the events of the day, where we can really spend quality time together. Another way to do it is to work together. I love 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, speaking about our work as Christians. We are laborers together with God. But the principle is that we can spend quality time together by working together. One family member stated, "We spend as much time working together as playing. There are always dishes to wash, laundry to fold, grass to mow, leaves to rake. But that isn't bad by any means. We have had some of our best, closest times working together." It's time spent together. One man who grew up on a farm talked about all the chores that he had to do. But he said, "Don't think that we did those alone. Dad and I would do the feeding. Mom and I would pick and prepare vegetables. We'd sweat and complain and laugh and talk as we worked." And because of that time spent together, even working, their relationships were strengthened. Work together, play together, play together. I read many years ago about Charles Adams, son of President John Adams. He penned the following entry in his diary: "Went fishing with my son today, a day wasted." But his son, Brooke, wrote in his diary on that very same day, "Went fishing today with my father, the most wonderful day of my life." Play together. Time spent with family is not wasted. It's an investment. Worship together. We're doing that this morning, worshiping together. Doesn't take long to see in the life of Jesus as he's growing up in the home of Mary and Joseph. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. They regularly worshiped together. This highlighted a time when they went to Jerusalem together. What a wonderful thing for families to do is to worship together and participate in church activities. spending special events together. Luke 15, it's a party. The prodigal has returned home. Bring the fatted calf, the father says. Kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. There's an example, a biblical example in Jesus' parable about a family spending a special event together. The return of the prodigal son. But it's just a picture of what we can do as families and spending time together. Holidays, vacations, birthdays. And whatever event that a family member may be involved in, that the family as a whole supports it. I think that's a healthy practice. One parent said, if the children have a band concert, recital, or in a program, mom and dad and the family are in the audience. Spend special events together. Serve together. Serve together. Through love, serve one another. I know of some families that took those flower arrangements created from those sprays for Brother Clyde's funeral and shared those with other people as a family, serving together. I'll never forget, back in 2005 or 2006, meeting a man, talking to him in our fellowship room. He was from Elkhart, Indiana. He told me that he and his daughter had made this trip together to help with the disaster relief after Hurricane Katrina. And with tears in his eyes, he says, my daughter's about to get married, so we wanted to make this work trip together. Serving together is a wonderful way to build our relationships. But you might sum it up like this. For homework, do nothing in particular, but do it together. But do it together. The passage that Jonathan read for us, Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Recognize the value and benefit of being with your family. And perhaps not even doing anything in particular, except being together. You know, a lot of us spend time and money several times a year selecting perfect gifts for birthdays or anniversaries or holidays for the people that we love. But the very best gift of all really doesn't have to cost a thing. Let's give our family members our most valuable possession. You know what that is? It's you. It's you. If you believe, as do most people, that your life is the most valuable possession that you have, then a piece of your life is the most precious gift that you have to offer. Let's give our most precious gift. Let's give ourselves and our time. Carl Bukin and Paul Faulkner wrote many years ago, the highest priority for Christian families is the time they spend together. The only thing more important is the believer's own spiritual commitments. It's a top priority, only surpassed by our relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus. But as you think about it, and God, in wanting to have that relationship with us, gave His most precious possession. He gave Himself in the person of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, so that we might have that saving relationship with Him and through Him. He gave His very best so that we can be reunited with Him. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, or His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How will you respond to that great love? Will you not give yourself back to Him in response? If you're subject to the invitation of Jesus this morning, if you're ready to obey the gospel, to have your sins washed away, as you've turned from sin and repentance, as you're ready to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized into Christ, we hope and pray that you'll do that even today. If you need the prayers of the church this morning, this church family would love to pray with you and for you for whatever your need may be. If you're subject to the invitation, please come right now as we stand and sing.